Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Just a quick note on what we're going to do today. I'm going to spend a little time with Paul Copan in the first segment of the broadcast today, talking about the question, is God a moral monster? And of course, the answer in his book, which is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We've had such a great response to this book, and there are a lot of reasons for that. We'll talk about them in just a moment. Also want to mention that I am so grateful for those who have stepped up to the plate in supporting this ministry. We are within $10,000 or $15,000 of breaking even this month, and typically April is not a very good month for the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, so thank you to all of those who have joined the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. It has been a great blessing to me. We've had more people join this month than any time that I can remember in recent history. But I want to begin the broadcast today by simply setting up my conversation with Paul Copan in saying that no less a luminary than the President of the United States himself is convinced that the Bible suggests that slavery is okay and that eating shellfish is an abomination. And not only that, but Barack Obama says that the Bible suggests stoning your child if he strays away from the faith. And many of you, too, will remember Christopher Hitchens. He's now absent the body. But when Christopher Hitchens was with Vanity Fair, he pointed out that the Bible contains a warrant for trafficking in humans, for ethnic cleansing, for slavery, for bride price, for indiscriminate massacre. So, like Hitchens and Obama, there are many who today depreciate the God of the Old Testament, and we would say more than that, the God of the Bible in general. One of those, Richard Dawkins, who describes the God of the Bible as a capriciously malevolent bully. But the Bible is not only being denigrated by politicians and publishers and professors, but also by punmeisters like Bill Maher, who characterizes people who hold that God has spoken and that the Bible contains an accurate record of what God has said as, well, obscurantists that have, for all intents and purposes, lost their brains in the narthex of a church. And he says a major reason that biblical Christianity is so dangerous is that it stops people from thinking. So here you have Obama and Hitchens and Dawkins and Maher, but they're all representative of a modern culture that considers the Bible increasingly irrelevant. And therefore, when the Bible is so much as mentioned, it is not uncommon to see expressions of polite exasperation etched on the faces of the masses. After all, the Bible not only condemns homosexuality, but also clearly teaches that Sabbath breakers have to be put to death. And therefore, professors and political sages and public personalities and so forth, through various mediums, and now most notably the internet, are raising doubts in the minds of multiplied millions regarding the notion that God has spoken and that the Bible is a reliable repository of what he has said. And in that milieu, it is absolutely crucial to correct obvious misreadings of the Bible. And this is precisely what Dr. Paul Copan has done so wonderfully in the book, Is God a Moral Monster? And so we all appreciate the work that he's done Many of you have expressed that by getting the books and by giving us comments about the books. If you don't have Is God a Moral Monster, you can order your copy on the web at equip.org by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by talking to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. And with that, I want to welcome back Dr. Paul Copan. Hi.
Thank you, Hank, for having me once again. I appreciate it.
Well, we really appreciate your book. And, you know, I set up the program in the way that I did because I wanted to give you an opportunity to comment on why you wrote this book. You obviously have your finger on the pulse of what is going on by talking to students, by having a pretty good perspective of what's going on in the culture, and you felt it was necessary to set the record straight with respect to the Bible, not only in terms of countering atheists and skeptics and so forth, but bolstering the faith of Christians who sometimes just don't know what to think.
Exactly. Of course, since September 11th, there has been an upsurge of criticisms against not simply Islam, but religion in general. And, of course, people like Christopher Hitchens say that religion poisons everything and God is not great, and Richard Dawkins writing about the God delusion. So it's interesting that it's not only one, quote, religion that gets blamed, but it's the kind of the throwing the baby out with the bathwater syndrome, where nothing good could be said about religion. So that's why you have Richard Dawkins doing a BBC documentary on religion as the root of all evil. It's kind of ironic because Richard Dawkins himself, in his book River Out of Eden, said that there is no good or evil, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference in this world of selfish genes and electrons. So on the other hand, he'll speak with on the other side of his mouth to condemn religion, even though there is no such thing as good or evil. So it's one of those odd things. But I think we need to take seriously those who are decrying religion and talking about the actual benefits and blessings that the Christian faith has brought. Yes, there have been some things that have been done in the name of Jesus that are wrong and should be condemned, but to simply paint with such broad brush strokes is really to be dishonest with the historical evidence, and it's important for us to point that out, to say, no, actually, it would be a dark planet if the light of Christ had not shown itself in the world. And so we need to talk about those benefits and blessings and so on. But it's helpful to know what the context of the rage, the cynicism, the people like Bill Maher and others who are making these sorts of criticisms. And I think that living in a very kind of, in a sense, it's kind of ironic, the very benefits that the Christian faith has brought to Western civilization, where we have rights, democracy, we have a high degree of literacy. Wherever you see Protestantism, you'll see higher literacy rates than other places in the world. But yet, it's the people who come up within this environment that actually criticize, that blast the biblical faith as though this somehow the biblical faith somehow undermines these things, whereas they don't see the historical evidence actually points in the other direction. So we need to be attuned to these things and say, actually, we'd be poorly off if it weren't for the Christian faith that has had such a dramatic impact in our society.
One of the issues that's addressed in the book and that so often comes up on the broadcast by way of a question is the dichotomy in the person's mind between the Old Testament God and the New Testament God. And you touch on this issue in the book where you point out that, yes, it is true that God pronounces judgment in the Old Testament on the Canaanites, as an example, but in the New Testament, he also pronounces judgment on his own people. And we might well say that what happened in terms of the destruction of Jerusalem and the very center of their sociological and spiritual identity, the destruction of all of that might have been as great a tribulation as anything that we find in the Bible.
Absolutely. It is highly ironic that people will try to pit the God of the Old Testament, so to speak, against the God of the New Testament, and they fail to see the continuity that exists there and Jesus' own presumption that he is in continuity with the Old Testament prophets. He's in continuity with the God who brings judgment. He presumes that that the judgments that God brought were just. He presumes that, for example, you know, in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, you know, Noah and the flood, he assumes that that took place. He assumes that that Tyre and Sidon and Sodom were judged. And he says that Bethsaida and Chorazin in Matthew 11, that these will receive a more harsh punishment because the miracles that were performed in them did not yield repentance. And so Jesus is very, very severe. Jesus is one who blasts the Pharisees and the scribes in Matthew 23. Jesus is the one who says that if someone leads one of these little ones into sin, that it would be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and drown in the depths of the sea. This is the Jesus who says, yes, love your enemies. But Jesus is also one who is aware that that when sin is not repented of, then just judgment comes upon those. And so you have the martyrs, for example, in Revelation 6, who are saying, how long, O Lord, till you avenge our blood? Or even the apostles themselves in Acts chapter 1, they invoke two imprecatory psalms. You know, let another take his office, and you know, let his place be made desolate. Well, those are psalms where justice is, you know, where the psalmist is pleading for God to do what he has promised, to bring justice when there is injustice in the world. And so, in God, but also he holds Israel to that same standard, that if Israel violates those standards, they too will be subject to justice as well. I think Romans 11:22 nicely summarizes it, where it says, behold the kindness and the severity of God. And I think we in our society, we'd like to emphasize the kindness of God, but we overlook the severity part because we don't want to take sin seriously.
We're talking to Dr. Paul Copan. He is the Pledger, a family chair of philosophy and ethics at Palm Beach Atlantic University in Florida. He's the author and editor of so many books, and one of the books that we've appreciated over the years as well is his book, When God Goes to Starbucks. He's also a contributor to the Christian Research Journal, and we're talking about his book right now, Is God a Moral Monster? If you don't have the book, trust me, as a believer, you're going to need this book sometime between now and the time you go home to be with the Lord. This is a book that is a reference book that I turn to over and over again. There are some real intricacies of Old Testament law that sometimes I want to get a handle on, and I, again, go to this book to get that kind of detail. And that underscores a point, Dr. Copan. We can no more read a New World realities into ancient Near Eastern legalities than we can read Torah legalities into New Covenant realities, because we have to be mindful that the whole of Scripture is greater than the sum of its individual parts, and therefore we can't grasp the Bible as a whole without grasping its individual passages, nor its individual passages without grasping the Bible as a whole. And all too often, people are making summary judgment on the Bible without really understanding what the Bible is communicating and why.
Well put. Exactly right. I mean, what we have going on here is, one, as I said before, Jesus is affirming the continuity of the Old Testament and the New Covenant that he is introducing. But we also have a recognition that when Jesus says, for example, in Matthew 19:8, that God permits certain legislation because of the hardness of human hearts. It's not as though the Mosaic Law is always expressing the ideals. In a way, you can talk about, you look at how God is meeting the people where they are in these fallen, sinful social structures of the ancient Near East that have fallen far from the ideals in Genesis 1 and 2 of people made in the image of God and equality between man and woman and so forth. We've seen a falling away from that, and so God meets people where they are and introduces laws that, though not ideal, are meeting people where they are but pointing them in the proper direction. And so we see a kind of progression here, and unfortunately a lot of the critics don't allow for any sort of progression that allow for the recognition that, for example, Israel is living in a society in which if you don't fight to protect yourself, you will no longer exist. It is, you know, warfare is taken for granted and so forth. And so God steps into these situations with Israel and utilizes the warfare of the day to actually bring about judgment. And so it's that kind of a setting, and you're right to point that out, that that people fail to recognize the ancient Near Eastern ways of speaking, the ancient Near Eastern, even, you know, talk about hyperbole, that when it says leave alive nothing that breathes or utterly destroy, it's used in a highly hyperbolic way, just as God, for example, says that he will utterly destroy in Jeremiah 25:9, I will utterly destroy Judah. Well, he doesn't actually do that. You get to the end of the book of Jeremiah, and Judah's there, but going into exile, so not utterly destroyed in a literal fashion.
Well, once again, we deeply appreciate your ministry. You've reached out to so many people around the world through your books and through your lectures, and we appreciate your contribution on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and through the journal as well. God bless you, my friend.
And you too. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You got it. And again, as God, a Moral Monster, it is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy in a safe, secure fashion with your gift on the web at equip.org, and we'll be right back with your questions.
Many people carry around highly destructive beliefs about God that are endorsed by popular atheists of our day, and tragically, they never truly experience intimacy with the Creator of their souls. We want to help you see through any lies you might carry around about God with a powerful book by Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Go online at equip.org with your gift and request it. Equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. New atheists and best-selling authors such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett often point to the God of the Old Testament to justify their claims about the implausibility of his existence and the stupidity of those who believe in God. But rather than fall for their rhetoric and emotive stereotypes presented by Dawkins and others, we must commit ourselves to become so familiar with the truth that we recognize lies about God instantly when they surface. Paul Copan's book called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God is a reassuring and helpful tool that will help you do this. That's why we hope you'll request a copy today as our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan, called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Biblical, reasonable, and readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them. That's why we want to help you stand for truth by sending you a copy of a powerful book by Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI with your gift and request it. 888-7000-CRI. Let's hear more from your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we're going to go right to our callers with the quick reminder that for those of you who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. And I want to really emphasize this issue of near-death experiences, because within the Christian community, there are so many who think that we can get extra-biblical revelation about what happens after we die through these near-death experiences, which are not biological deaths, by the way, but clinical deaths. And as a result of the popularity of the movie, Is Heaven for Real? We have books like Don Piper's book again hitting the bestseller list, and Bill Weiss's book being up there again. And so there's so much confusion within the body of Christ with respect to near-death experiences. And in the heart of my book on heaven and hell, I'm also pointing out what's going on with near-death experiences, so people have the ability to contextualize these near-death experiences in light of what the Bible has to say. Remember, no matter how popular something becomes within the Christian community, we can't buy into it uncritically. So once again, that's the reason that I'm highlighting Afterlife. It's one of my newest books, and it is available for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team in a personalized fashion to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, you can get your copy on the web at equip.org when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. And I would be remiss if I didn't once again say thank you to all of those that joined the monthly Bible Answer Man support team this month. It's been a great encouragement to us. I mean, the month started out very, very slow. I did let people know what was going on, and people have responded, and I am deeply, deeply grateful for that. Want to go to our phone callers. First up is Lori, Denver, Colorado. In fact, I just flew out of the Denver airport this morning, early this morning. She's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And also, thank you for your book, Apocalypse Code. It really helps me understand Revelation more. And it was always very confusing to me before. I read your book, and then I read R.T. Sproul's and Before Jerusalem Fell by Gentry. It was very helpful, I thought. My question, though, is there was just some things I didn't understand, so out of curiosity, I went to a full-credit church just to see the base belief and got to know these people, and then when I found out some of the things they believed, I thought, this isn't right. For example, they don't believe in the second coming, they don't believe in Christ's resurrection, but not in ours. And not in his believers, and they don't believe Satan exists anymore. And I was wondering, I left that church, and I thought, well, forget this, it's not right. But I was wondering, I still know these people, and I'm trying to figure out, is that the type of prayer, is it a cult, or is it just bad theology?
Yeah. Lori, let me answer this question real quickly, in that the transmission of your voice is very poor. So I don't know how many people heard exactly what you said. I kind of got 50% of it, but I understand you asking about hyperpreterism. And let me say that hyperpreterism, from my perspective, is cultic in this sense. A cult can be defined from a sociological perspective. It can also be defined from a theological perspective. And in the sense of a theological aspect, we would say that a cult compromises, confuses, or outright contradicts essentials of the historic Christian faith. And from what I heard you say, there are a couple of them that came to your attention, and both of them are very significant. One has to do with the second coming, the suggestion that the second coming has already taken place. The other is a redefinition of resurrection. Yes, they believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they also redefine resurrection, and they suggest that the resurrection has already taken place with respect to people as well. So the whole idea of hyperpreterism, I think, is very cultic. It's very dangerous. And certainly is not something that can in any way be made compatible with a proper reading of the Bible. And I think this is one of the things that we're emphasizing so highly at the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. So many problems are solved when people grasp the art and science of biblical interpretation, when they start to understand hyperbole, when they understand idiom, when they understand metaphor, when they understand simile, and when they don't start making parables walk on all fours, when they start understanding genres like apocalyptic language and so forth, the Bible begins to open up to them. And I was encouraged. I was telling one of my associates when I came in this afternoon, just before the broadcast, I had been in Denver for a lifetime recognition award for one of my good friends, Jack Countryman, who published my book, a number of my books, including The Complete Bible Answer Man Collector's Edition. And while I was there, I spent some time with my with some of my grandkids. My son teaches at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. He's a professor there. But I was talking to an 8-year-old grandson named Luke. And one of the things that I was absolutely encouraged by is that he had a firm grasp at 8 years of age of what a metaphor is, what a simile is, and how a parable is an extended simile, and how idioms work, and how various genres work. And we were talking about even fantasy literature. And I was thinking when I was having a discussion with an 8-year-old on this, how much this is needed for all Christians, just to master the art and science of biblical interpretation and recognizing afresh that this is not something that's unattainable for Christians. It is very attainable. And it's one of the first things that we ought to focus our hearts and minds on. It is, in fact, why a good part of my book, Has God Spoken?, deals with the very issue if God has spoken, what has God said? And that entails learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, or as I like to say, mine it for all its wealth. So this is the big issue. I mean, this is why open theists misunderstand the Bible. This is oftentimes why people read the book of Genesis in a way that is unintended by the author and ultimately by the Holy Spirit who inspired the book of Genesis. This is where people get confused with respect to the book of Revelation and so forth. This is why people like Bill Maher have parables walking on all fours. They simply just, they don't understand how to read literature. And so we as Christians need to focus on that, and it's one of my passions. I think a lot of the confusion within the evangelical Christian world would go away if we learned the art and science of biblical interpretation. We certainly would not be buying into the hyper-literalism, talk about hyper-preterism, the hyper-literalism of those who think heaven has actual streets of gold and actual gates of pearl, and people who are already resurrected in their resurrected bodies there and so forth. If we understood the art and science of biblical interpretation, we would not fall for these kinds of interpretations of Scripture. We would have a right valuation of things. And what can be more important than that when it comes to Scripture? That's why we had Dr. Paul Copan on today. It's because his book makes sense of Scripture. You start to go, now I understand that these laws are not just silly laws, not mixing threads in the old time. It wasn't just capricious. It wasn't ridiculous. It had real value. These are all types and shadows that had meaning. These had significance in terms of how Israel was to be a light to the nations and so forth. So understanding the art and science of biblical interpretation is just critical to your Christian walk, your Christian faith, your recognition that the Bible is, in fact, a reliable authority. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Connie. She's listening in New Mexico on KKIM. Hi, Connie.
Okay. I'm so glad I got to get through to you.
That's nice to talk to you.
My question is the state of my son's soul. He became a Christian at 11 years old. At 16, he began turning away. And he is 37 now and lives a very immoral life. I studied the Scriptures, and based on what I read, especially Hebrews 10 and 2 Peter 2, that if something should happen to him today and he's still denouncing the Lord, then he would be lost. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think you're right, Connie. I think that those who are principles of the kingdom, those who are genuine followers of Jesus Christ, they're not necessarily those that have their act together, but they are those who say, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I believe that he was the wisest man who ever lived, and not only a man, but God in human flesh. And therefore, I want to follow him. His principles for life and living, his principles of the kingdom, are the principles I want to embrace. So if you have someone who is overtly transgressing all of those principles, then it's very hard to imagine that that person is genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's the issue. Do we want to follow Jesus Christ? It's not whether we have our act together in every area of our lives, because none of us do. But if we really want to follow Jesus Christ, he then allows us to live the crucified life, which is not only a changed life, but it is an exchanged life. It is the life of Christ within. And so if someone is not manifesting that life of Christ within, then you have real reason as a fruit inspector, using the biblical language, to doubt whether he had an authentic conversion.
Exactly. Well, you know, I've had everyone, you know, tell me, you know, that once you're saved, you're always saved. And I thought, well, then does that mean basically you never really had that conversion? Because, you know, he could not be saved in the condition that he is now if something were to happen to him and he never comes back to the Lord.
Yeah, and exactly as you say. I mean, it's absolutely true that there are a lot of people who have had a said faith as opposed to a real faith. They've at one point in their life said they believe, but did they actually believe? I mean, if you would have followed Judas around, he would have said he believed. He would have said he was a follower of Jesus Christ, and he certainly would have looked like one. But in the end, we recognize that he was not there because he loved Jesus Christ. He was following Jesus Christ because he loved what was on the table of the master, as opposed to loving the master. Coming to a station break, we'll pray for your son, Connie, as I'm sure you are, and then hopefully many, many others will as well. We are coming to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
It's often the most vitriolic notions of God that get the most play in academia, politics, media, and thus, the home. And that's why many people carry around untrue beliefs about Him.
but we want to help you see truth clearly by sending you a powerful book by Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI with your gift and request it. 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back with Hank Hanegraaff right after this. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Biblical, reasonable, and readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. New atheists and best-selling authors such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett often point to the God of the Old Testament to justify their claims about the implausibility of his existence and the stupidity of those who believe in God. But rather than fall for their rhetoric and emotive stereotypes presented by Dawkins and others, we must commit ourselves to become so familiar with the truth that we recognize lies about God instantly when they surface. Paul Copan's book called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God is a reassuring and helpful tool that will help you do this. That's why we hope you'll request a copy today as our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. Rather than fall for the emotional rhetoric presented by new atheists such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett, we must become so familiar with the truth, we recognize their lies instantly when they surface. Paul Copan's remarkable book titled, Is God a Moral Monster? Will help you do just that. And this reassuring resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So go online at equip.org with your gift and request it. Equip.org. Now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Dave. He's listening in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Dave.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
I had one question. Messianic prophecies still available, and are they still true for today? I'm talking about the ones, the Old Testament, to back up the New Testament.
Yeah, well, what you have in the Old Testament is prophecy that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I mean, there are many prophecies fulfilled in other ways as well, but the messianic prophecies that you're referring to have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And yet there's an ultimate consummation that comes through Jesus Christ, which has not been fulfilled. Daniel talks about it. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth will arise, some to eternal life and some to eternal condemnation. So Daniel's prophecy in that sense has not been fulfilled, because we are looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ, when all who sleep in the dust of the earth will arise, when everyone will be resurrected just as Jesus promised that they would. So ultimately, the messianic prophecies are fulfilled because only Jesus Christ can walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies, and the prophecies of Jesus Christ himself have been fulfilled, save the fact that the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved, that Jesus Christ himself will appear a second time, as the writer of Hebrews puts it, and that we will arise, be judged, and then we will live either in union with God for all eternity in paradise restored, or absent a relationship with God for all eternity.
Yeah, so do you know anything about Bob Larson?
I do.
Do you know if you have his number or anything like that?
If I have his number?
Well, you could email it to. I got a you got my phone number. You can email it to me, because I mean he's come on all the time. Well.
Okay, well, hang on. Let's see what we can do. I'm not sure exactly what you're asking for. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Joe in Pacific, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
My question is this. The Bible says that the dead will stand at the great white throne judgment, and the books will be opened, and the dead will be judged out of through their works. Now, my question is this. You have someone that lived a vile life, that never accepted Christ, and then you have a person that lived a good life, that was sweet to people, that loved people, and never accepted Christ also. So they're standing together. Do you believe there are degrees of judgment in heaven or in hell between these two different people and what they lived their lives, on this earth?
Well, there's no question about it whatsoever. There are degrees of punishment in hell in the same sense that there are degrees of reward in heaven. Each person will receive according to what they have done. So it is right to suggest that there is a separation of sheep and goats. Those who are sheep, metaphorically, are the followers of Jesus Christ. The goats is a way of describing those who did not want a relationship with Jesus Christ. So there's a separation between those who are in Christ and those who are out of Christ. But then there are, as you point out, the judgments that follow for both categories. There are therefore degrees of reward in heaven based on how we have built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, as Paul makes clear, and degrees of punishment in hell. And so we may rightly say, as you suggest, that a Hitler or a Stalin, their hell will be greatly different than the hell of a garden variety pagan.
I see. Yeah, I did. My father is a Catholic, and he's accepted Christ as a savior. But his mother was a devout Catholic, and highly indoctrinated into the church. And the thing that bothered my father was when she died at the funeral. The priest said, "We know Agnes is in heaven now, because she was baptized as a child." So that's kind of eating my dad up, and rightfully so, because, our loved ones, we want them with us in heaven. So that uncertainty is really, really bothering my father.
Well, remember that the real issue is not a denomination or even a creed or a set of do's and don'ts. The real issue is, was whoever we're talking about, were they followers of Jesus Christ, those who loved him and wanted a relationship with him? And if they followed him and wanted a relationship with him, God is not going to turn them away. God is not throwing obstacles in our path. It's not the absence of truth that damns. It's the despising of truth that ultimately damns. And the only way that we ultimately have for salvation is to follow Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. But I have no doubt that there are going to be people in all kinds of denominational constructs who are going to be in heaven because they genuinely followed Jesus Christ. They may not have been able to fully understand all the principles of the kingdom, but they genuinely wanted to follow Jesus Christ and say, "Thy will be done." I think C.S. Lewis is right. There are two kinds of people in the world, those who say to Christ, "Thy will be done," and those to whom Christ in the end says, "Thy will be done." In other words, God is not going to drag anyone kicking and screaming into his presence for all eternity, because if that were the case, the righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment for them, at least, worse than hell.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
You got it. And, of course, in terms of your question, I'm thinking about the verse where Jesus says, "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you." And then Jesus goes on to say, "And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depth. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. It will be more tolerable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Jim in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Sir, help me to understand. Was Darwin a racist? I heard statements, I thought, that he had that had been accorded to him. Was he a racist?
Well, certainly he believed in racism in the sense that he believed that there was a hierarchy of races, that the Turkish had beaten Caucasian had beaten the Turkish race hollow in the struggle for existence, and that no very distant date, an endless number of lower races will be eliminated by higher, more sophisticated, superior races. And, you know, his bulldog, Thomas Huxley, who actually coined the term agnostic, incidentally, was and was the man most responsible for advancing Darwinian doctrine. He communicated that no rational man cognizant of the facts believes that the average Negro is the equal, still less the superior, of the white man. This is real racism, and unfortunately were many others like that held a Darwinian dogma that were racist in the extreme. I mean, look, if you look at the evolutionary paradigm, it is as important for the unfit to die as for the fittest to survive, because if the unfit survived indefinitely, they would infect the fit with their less fit genes, and therefore evolution couldn't take place. And so it was a real concern of Darwinian dogma to recognize that there is a hierarchy of races, and that led to all kinds of racist practical application.
Indeed. So, Hank, help me to understand. The liberal media ripped their hair out over over bad statements from people who are not, shall we say, as well informed as you would expect them to be nowadays, i.e. Mr. Bundy and then the basketball coach or owner and so on and so on. How is it that the liberal media, them, gravitate so readily to picking and agreeing with evolution when they don't even recognize the other aspect, the racism that Darwin purported?
Yeah, I think we do suffer from cognitive dissonance, and we live in a politically correct society in which certain things are considered to be horrendous and other things are not considered to be horrendous. And as a result of that, people today are lauding Darwin. They're bowing in deep devotion before Darwinian dogma, not recognizing that Darwin was not only a racist, but he was also a sexist. He did not believe that women could attain to the same kind of intellectual prowess or capabilities as men. And he wrote about that in The Descent of Man. So, yeah, he said some of the most horrendous things, and this is the implication of Darwinian devotion drawn to its logical conclusion.
Indeed. I just could not fathom how the liberal media could be so upset with these statements that have been made. And yes, they are wrong in terms of race. Any race is wrong because equality is the way God put things together. But I couldn't believe that they did not know and or did not care about the racist aspect of Darwin. But anyways.
Well, a good point. I'm glad you brought it up. We do live in a state of cognitive dissonance, and I think we do well to point out that in biblical theology, there's no place for racism whatsoever. God does not show favoritism. So in Christ, there's no Jew or Greek. In Christ, there's no slave or free. In Christ, there's no male or female. We are one in Christ. But the application of Darwinian dogma has led to some of the greatest atrocities in human history. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'll be right back tomorrow. We've got a special show coming up tomorrow you won't want to miss. Thanks for tuning in today.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan called, Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Biblical, reasonable, and readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.